Please, chapter 3, Colossians 3 tonight. Amen. Thank you all for being here and for praying together and coming for the Bible study as well. Let's pray. Lord, bless us now as we meet in your word. Lord, in your spirit, I pray that God, you'd bring out the truth tonight, what you wish. Lord, may I labor those things that you want tonight. May I not labor those things that you do not want. And I pray that you'd teach us, please. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to say thank you for allowing the pastoral staff, first of all, for just loving on a Sunday and giving us some goodies and gifts. Appreciate that. And then allowing us to be away for a couple days. And we went west up farther into the mountains and higher elevations. We saw beautiful colors of the trees and changing leaves and all that, a little different temperatures and higher elevations. And we had a good time together. We read the Word of God together. We sang together. We prayed together and challenged one another. And I had a great, great time. Ended up along a river and climbing rocks and waterfalls and things, and it was pretty neat. We had a good time together, just away, and getting on the same page and challenging one another. And I'm thankful for the preacher y'all had Sunday night, and found out that apparently he said he was nervous and sweating a lot during the message, is what I heard. But he got through it, amen, and it was good, and the Lord used him. Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate that. Amen and amen. What's this I hear about we need to say page numbers more or something like that in song directors? I'm not sure, but we'll talk about it. Oh, it was a test. Okay, all right. Amen. I'm thankful for our deacons that do such a great job, and I appreciate them as well. All right, we left off halfway through chapter 3 last week, and I'm going to dive right into it, all right? Verse 9, we cover just these couple verses here at the end, and I want to pick back up on them. Verse 9 of chapter 3 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." All right, put off and put on, put off and put on. Right, just before I came into service tonight, I put on this sports coat. I put it on. That's the idea with this. The old man, the old nature. Now, we still carry around that old nature, but God has given us a new nature. And he's saying here, put off the old nature, the old man, the old flesh. Put it off. Say no to it. We saw here earlier in the text last week, we were to mortify our flesh. We're to deaden it, to kill it, to say no to it. And that's a big problem we see in humanity today, in even Christianity today, is that we have a hard time saying no to our flesh, saying no to ourselves and our wants and our wishes. And we are to do that. We're to put on, literally like putting on a new coat, like taking off of dirty rags and putting on the robes of Christ that he wants us to wear on a daily basis. That we're to put them on. We have to choose, church. We have to choose to walk in the Spirit. We have to want it and we have to choose it. And being there's one thing to have the indwelling Spirit of God. You have that when you get saved. The Spirit of God comes upon you. It's another thing to walk in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit. We understand this. We don't get more of the Spirit when we're filled with the Spirit. We don't get more of Him. We got all of the Spirit that we got when we got saved. But He gets a whole lot more of us when we get filled with the Spirit. Okay? I know I've given you this illustration before, but just briefly. If you would consider, let's choose somebody. Like, let's choose Pastor Bain. If you invite Pastor Bain over to your house. Well, if you come in the front door of the Woolard household, there's a closet right there in the front house, right there by the front door. It's a coat closet, right? Well, I could invite Pastor Bain over to my house and shove him right in the closet. Actually, I might like doing that. Right? And I could say, Pastor Bain's in my house. He's in my house. Shove him in the closet. Yeah, he's in my house. Pastor John, can I come out? It's a little It's a little fog, a little, I don't know, tight in here. It's a little dark in here, right? But that's what we do, the Holy Spirit. And if we allow Him, we say, no, it's not what I want. It's not what I feel like and what I want and what I think. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit out of the closet and let Him come into the front room and into the kitchen and down the hallway into all the bedrooms, and there's the bathrooms there, and downstairs to the family room and where the television is, and look over here in the laundry room in the garage. Yeah, in the garage where Pastor John gets a little frustrated sometimes and wants to throw a tool or something or whatever. Yeah, let the Holy Spirit down in there, you know, and let Him have influence in all these areas. That's a difference, isn't it? Yeah. He's saying, put off the old man and put on the new man. The new man. It's like saying, walk in the Spirit, because the new man has the Spirit in him, the Spirit of God, who gives direction, and if you allow Him, the fruit of the Spirit starts coming out. Amen. Look at what he says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So we were created in the image of God, and in the image of God, Adam, a perfect man, three parts, right? Yes, spirit, soul, and body, all alive in the image of God. And then when sin entered in, he died spiritually. The spirit in Adam died. In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But yet he lived to 900 and some years old. No, he died in his spirit. And we, when we get saved, can then truly take on the image of Christ when we become alive spiritually, and then we choose to die to our flesh and put on the new man. We can become more like Jesus and be in the image of Christ truly. Amen. God restoring us to what He intended. Now, you understand the Bible teaches flesh and spirit, they war against each other. You know that you have trouble with the old man and you want to put on the new man. What's Paul say? I would and I want to, but I don't. And then I don't want to, this stuff over here, but I do it. And he's the battle there, and that's the constant battle. Praise the Lord that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Doesn't the Bible say that? For we shall see Him as He is. Praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah. And the image of Him. Now verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian and Scythian, I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What's he saying here? He's saying it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter background. Let me give it to you this way. One commentator said this, and I liked it. I wrote it down. He said, country, creed, culture, or class, it doesn't matter. Country, what's he saying? Jew or Greek, right? Another way, Gentile or the Jewish family of God, descendants of Abraham, or the rest of all the Greeks there around Paul at this time, the Gentiles there, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're Jew background or if you're Greek background, you can be saved and walk in the image of God. Yes? Alive spiritually? Yes, we can be. All right. It doesn't matter circumcision or uncircumcision, a creed there. There was people that got saved in the New Testament, Greeks even, and there was a challenge that presented to say, well, they need to get circumcised. And they were debating that for a while, and it came to the understanding that, no, wait a minute. That's an outward sign given to the covenant with Abraham for a purpose there, and it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. You can have the new man and walk in newness, the new creature in Christ. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then he goes on from creed there to culture. Barbarian was the idea that, well, they're not in our culture. They're uncultured barbarians. The Scythians here, they were looked at as savages. So, again, they're not in our culture. Well, they're different than us. Be careful. be careful on this thing, having our mindset that anybody who is right with God has to look just like me. Be careful on that. There are people around the world with a lot different cultures than American. God never told us once in the Word of God that we're to go over to some other country that's completely different than us and make Americanize them and make them American Baptist Christians. Didn't say that. He said, give them Jesus. You understand what I'm saying there? Now our culture here in America, and I want people in the pulpit preaching with a tie on. You understand that? Looking their best for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the culture all around the world. Follow me on that? And why do I want to barge in and a white American and I've got all the answers and all that? No, I have Jesus and let me teach you Jesus. Because the Bible doesn't say that Jesus walked around in a tie either. I know I'm scaring some of you in the old fundamental church here, amen? Now, I like having a tie on and looking my best Sunday dress for Jesus. But that's not the culture all around the world. So just understand that. Amen? Well, Pastor John, then you shouldn't have a problem with somebody speaking in your pulpit with a tie. Yeah, I do have a problem with that because this is our culture here and I want to have our Sunday best for Jesus. I believe in that. I'm not coming up here with holes in my jeans. You understand that? I'm not coming in here in jeans. I want to look good for Jesus. But I'm going to work in jeans. Amen. Anyways, moving on. Okay, you got me. Okay, praise the Lord. But Christ is all and in all. How'd I get off on that tangent? Amen. Amen. Let's get back in the scriptures. Amen. All right. Okay. But Christ is all and in all. It doesn't matter the background. It doesn't matter the country, the creed, the culture, or the class here. Bond or free. There once was a day, well, you're of a servant class. Well, you are in nobility. And all that. And I praise the Lord for the new world and that new way of thinking and America and where there was everybody was equal, right? I could work for what I could get. But Jesus is saying here, or Paul, the Lord through Paul is saying here, it doesn't matter what you were born into. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? Because he's the same. He's all in all. In all, he can be the same. We have great fellowship. Praise the Lord. Remember, Lord brought Beam, what's his last name? Gimi Ray to my mind right now. He was born in Nepal, right? Came to America and learned English and learned the Bible and understanding all that. And now he's back in Nepal trying to reach his people, right? God gave me great fellowship with that young man. Why? Because he's saved. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Okay. Verse number 12. Put on, therefore. Let's put it on. It's like a garment. We got to choose it. The holy, beautiful, royal robes that Jesus Christ has given us, that new creature that we're all supposed to put on. Look what he says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Don't get bent out of shape. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Oh, Pastor John, you're walking down a scary road right there. No, the Lord's walking down it, and it's not very scary. Because if we understand the Scriptures and we compare Scriptures with Scriptures, we understand what that means. The elect of God. We are the elect of God. Did you know that? Well, I'm not Jewish. Yes, but in Christ, you're now the elect of God. It's not because God chose you over somebody else to be saved. And that's, well, some people will skew it and take it that way. That's not what it means. We compare Scripture with Scripture and we understand it. What it's talking about here is positionally, when I get saved, I am adopted in. What I heard, Brother Rusty, I've heard you several times say it. We are grafted in, right? Into the family. Praise the Lord for it. Into the family of God. We are positionally the elect of God. Amen. Because God said so. Amen. It doesn't matter if I was a slave at one time. That's servant in here, or here it says bond. It's talking about slavery here. A low class and all that of one day in Paul's day here. It doesn't matter. Now you're the elect of God if you're saved. Amen. And he says here, now put on, therefore, as the elect of God. What's he say here? Holy and beloved. That's who you are in Christ now. God's declared it. Bowels of mercies. Starts with that. Bowels of mercies. That's what you're supposed to put on. Okay, the pastoral staff knows that I need to work on that a little bit. Mercy. Okay. We were meeting together and talking, and I gave a little spiritual gifts questionnaire, and we were discussing where our strengths are spiritually and where we were weak and where we were strong and how we complemented one another and all that. And I didn't score very well on mercy. That was way down the list. And I said, that makes a lot of sense. I don't score very high on mercy. He said, Pastor John, that's awful. I know. I need to work on it, okay? But it's not a spiritual gift that the Lord has given me, okay? When I'm correcting my children, it's this way, let's go, and sometimes a little kick in the butt, and here we go. Excuse me, rear end, okay? And here we go, okay? But was I not raised that way? I was raised that way, so that's how I continue, okay? And when I got married, Marie taught me that I need to be a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more merciful. She taught me how to say, I love you to my children, how to kiss them, right? That's, she completes me. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, good. So, bowels of mercy. Be ye merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Doesn't the Bible say that? Yes, it does. Okay, bowels of mercy. Why bowels? Maybe because we're supposed to reproduce the mercy that Christ has given to us. Reproduce it. Shine it off. Be merciful because He's merciful. Kindness. Wow, kindness. How do we show that we are disciples of Christ? By our love for one another. Kindness. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Is it all about me? Is it all about you? Up here we have something in our minds and we're thinking that. No, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Right, come on now. Meekness. Just because you have the power to do something doesn't mean you need to show it off all the time. Moses was a very educated and very good leader, but yet he didn't show off all. The Bible says he was meek. He was meek. All right, long-suffering. Amen. Some of you all have learned to be long-suffering with me when I'm preaching. Amen. Okay, we need to be long-suffering with people. Amen. Forbearing one another. Forgive and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness seems to be a difficult thing in our flesh. And we allow our flesh to get into the spiritual realm or into church or into Christian relationships. We let the flesh come in and we don't want to be forgiving. We want to hold on to the quarrel. We want to hold on to we've got an issue and we want to hold on to that. And the Lord says, no, you give it up. Christ forgave you, so you forgive one another. No relationship can survive the absence of forgiveness. And why is it? Well, it's real easy to forgive that person, but I'm having trouble with that one right there. A little bit of bitterness starts setting in. We got to be careful of that, church. That's where the devil comes in and starts playing on our emotional things, the flesh that we're holding on to. And he wants to split relationships. He wants to split families. He wants to split churches over those things, using those things. And we look at the example of Christ and we put on that new creature that should be forgiving. He says here in verse 14, and above all these things, put on what? Charity. What is charity? It's love. It's not just love. It's agape love. It's sacrificial love. What I'm supposed to have for my wife, yes. But what I'm supposed to have for other Christians. What I'm supposed to have for other people. Agape love. Sacrificing myself. Sacrificial love. Bible, it talks about in Ephesians, a parallel passage with this. Ephesians 5, love husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That parallel passage there, understanding that service. So if we're supposed to put on all these things, but yet above all these things we put on charity, think about it now. It's a top coat. Yes? Some of you men wear a top coat in the winter, put it on over top your suit, and it keeps you warm. And sometimes in other cultures and different things in the past, they'd put on a top coat that was fancy and looked good. And that's what people saw first. And what's the Lord saying here? They see your love first. Your top coat. Above all these things, they see your love. And let us be known by our love. It's not always easy, is it? You ask some of the ladies that answer the phones at the church, it's not always easy. Yeah, because everybody has a story and everybody has their hand out. It's not always easy. And we have to use discernment with the Holy Spirit and work through things where, wait a minute, can we legitimately be a help to these people? Or do we need to understand that they're trying to take advantage of the church? You follow me on that? I praise the Lord that God gave the discernment. I assume it was Pastor Don, might have been someone else, to take on the mission downtown. Because that discernment of taking on the mission as a support, a missionary institution, that we support them, okay? Because I can then direct people to the mission instead of handing out money. Follow me on that. We have a means to help people already in place. And I can send them down there and say, they have food for you and they can help you find a place to stay. They have some other things. And sometimes I direct them to other things depending on situations. But I praise the Lord for that. We don't foolishly just hand out money. Have I given money? Yes, I have. But not very often. Why? Because we already have things set in place. But again, we have to have love. Look what he says, which is the bond of perfectness. Okay? We're supposed to be like Christ. Christ is perfect. We're trying to be more like him. And as we're putting on these things, we take on his agape love. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Man, he's covering a lot of things here. But the peace of God and to be thankful here. Wow. Let it rule in your heart like an impartial umpire. That's the idea with that. When I was studying it, coming out there. Like an umpire. He's not on this team and he's not on that team. He's going to call it as he sees it right here, impartial. You say, well, I've known some umpires that weren't that way. Well, yeah, that's sinful man. But God is not partial. It's impartial. And here, that's the idea there. Let it rule in your heart. Not partial one way or another. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, look what he says here. Look, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, we read these verses, and we read, I know many of you that are trying to read through the Bible in a year, and you're on your Bible reading plans and all those things, and myself included here, and we read over these, and sometimes we just don't even catch what he's saying, because there's so much in these verses. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What does that mean? Let the seed of the word of God take root in your heart. We take the Word of God, and we don't just skim over it, but we dwell on it. Doesn't the Bible talk about in Joshua about meditating on it? Yeah, thinking on it, dwelling on it. Let it take root in my heart, and let me ask the Holy Spirit of God to help me to understand it, to illuminate the Scripture to me so I can grasp it, and let it take root and start reproducing in me the fruits of the Spirit. Teaching and admonishing, right? What's the difference of that? Teaching, sharing, giving information, but admonishing is correcting, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes you're. I like the illustration of running an old mule down, plowing a line in a field, and you got a little thing, and he gets off because his face is in the dirt, and he's doing all the work around here, and yet that driver just taps him on this side to get him back here if he gets out of line, and he taps him on that side to get him back if he's out of line, right? That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in us. That's what we ought to let him do, is correct us. But because we're so stuck on ourselves and prideful, we don't want to let him correct us. Well, no, I've been doing it this way, and you know, I'm doing it. Preachers in the pulpit, myself included. Well, I know. Listen, I know. I'm the pastor. Leave me be. Wait a minute. Shame on a man if he says that. Why? Because a man in the pulpit needs corrected, just like a man in the pew needs corrected. We're all sinners. Yes. Doesn't matter who's in the pulpit, he's still a sinner and he's given the truth of the Word of God, and that's why we can say amen and rally around it. But sometimes, I've had deacons come to me and challenge me on something I've said and said, why'd you say that? Let's talk about it in the Word of God. That's okay, and it should be okay. Why? Because this man's sinful flesh. And the knowledge, and though I walk with the Lord, the knowledge is not all perfect. You understand that. And we need to walk in humility. Amen. It doesn't matter what position you hold. We walk in humility. Amen. It should be okay for a Sunday school student to ask a Sunday school teacher a question. They're trying to learn. And it's okay for the Sunday school teacher to say, you know what? I don't have the answer to that. Let me go find it out. Let me go study it. Amen. I've told folks that. I get a lot of questions. I say, you know what? Give me a little time on that. Let me study that. I'm not sure. Amen. Look what he says here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in... How are we to teach and admonish one another? Look what he says. In psalms... I got to find it. There it is. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I enjoyed our pastoral retreat because we got together multiple times. We had different meetings and we read the Psalms together. Now, we don't have all the music. We can't sing them all, okay? But some of them we can. But we read them. We started in Psalm 92, and we started reading through it. Went to Psalm 100, and we were reading them. We were bragging on God. We started singing. We took hymnals, and we started singing together. I mean, just a cappella, and just the harmony was coming out. It was great. It was wonderful. That's how we are to teach and admonish one another. What's it say here? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whether I'm preaching, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm serving somebody with a meal, whether I'm over here working on somebody's equipment or car, or whether I'm over here helping them with this thing or that thing, I'm to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He's going to go down here in a little bit, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but there are rewards in heaven for people that physically do work for other people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us get off this idea that it's only somebody who does something spiritual that's teaching that gets a reward. No. God rewards those, it doesn't matter what you do. If you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving the Lord, and you're doing physical work and you're out here in the shop or you're out here in a truck or out here with a wrench in your hand or whatever it might be, He's got rewards for folks that do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing to put food on the table for your family and raise up children for the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and God's got a reward for that. He's gonna favor you. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're wearing the hats correctly that I've given you to wear. So I know some people say, well, I'm just a janitor, or I go out here and I cut the grass at the church. God looks on that with favor. And why does He do that? Because you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I want God's property to look good. So I cut it and I do it with joy, and God brings reward for that. Now, he's going to say that later here when he's talking about servants, but I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Amen. I got to land this plane here for a minute. I was excited. I wanted to get through the chapter, but there's a lot in this. There is so much in Colossians. I love it. I love studying it. Man, I was really trying to get to that next verse, babe. I was trying to get there, okay? Man, I told her today, you know what I'm studying? She goes, what? I said, you want me to read it to you? She's like, oh. I said, don't worry, the husbands come next. Okay. Man, I'm going to start that off next time after missions conference. Right on, wives, submit to your own husbands. Amen. Let's just talk about that for a minute. We don't need to get, husbands are like, hey, just park there for a minute. We got a couple more minutes, Pastor John. We got a couple more minutes. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Man, praise the Lord and God. Amen. He'll bring it out next time. Amen. I was eager. I was waiting. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Do you let the Word of God convict and make changes? Do you? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom. I'm supposed to let it make changes in me. As I was studying that, I know I'm not there yet, but it goes from the wife to the husband, it goes from the husband to the wife, and it goes from the parent to the child. Yeah, and the Lord was convicting me on some things. Ooh, what does that mean? Talks about the husband being bitter against the wife. Yeah, and I started looking at that, and I said, interesting. And the Lord was starting to convict me about being the right kind of husband. Amen. Let's let the Word of God change us. Not outside influences, not some guy on YouTube, but the Word of God. Don't let this preacher's persuasive speech change you. Let the Holy Spirit of God with the Word of God change you. Amen? Amen. You know this, and I've said this, and I try to reevaluate it to see if I'm doing right. But it shouldn't be my opinion coming out that's changing anybody. My opinions about a lot of things. It shouldn't be anything of that trying to change. It should be the Holy Spirit of God in the Word of God changing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord.